Psalm 130, please. Just read the psalm right through. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This psalm opens with this mighty phrase, out of the depths. And you have a right to sort of stop there and say, what depths? And there have been a lot of arguments about this. You see, some scholars who write upon the psalm say that this psalm was written by Hezekiah. It is not David's psalm, it is Hezekiah's psalm. And when Hezekiah was ill unto death, and Isaiah the prophet came in and said, thou shalt die and not live, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. And they think that this is the part of the cry, out of the depths. But I don't think so. I don't think you can work that at all. You can only work that by application. That is not the interpretation of this psalm at all. Oh, I know it will work well as application. There are other scholars who say this is David's psalm. And when Absalom had stolen the throne, David had to leave his beloved city, Jerusalem, and go out through the gates and down the valley of Jehoshaphat and across the Kidron River and go slowly up the Mount of Olives. He was on his bare feet at that time. He left Jerusalem on his bare feet. His head was hooded. He was bowed down with sorrow and disgrace at what had happened. Actually, he was stoned by some of the enemy as he went. And you remember that one of the Benjamites cursed him as he slowly got up the mountain. And some of the scholars say it was here that he cried, out of the depths. And I don't believe that. It's so easy to take up things, and it's so easy to try to work them and say this is that. Only by application I think you can do that. Some other scholars say that when David was living at Ziklag and went out to the battle with the Philistines, and the Amalekites came and burned Ziklag, and David's wives were taken prisoners and his children were taken prisoners, and the city was burned to the ground, that when David saw the city, then out of the depths. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a moment. It's so easy to do this sort of thing. I knew an old Roman Catholic theologian called Tom Connolly. He was Dr. Tom. And although he was a Roman Catholic and he was a sort of theologian, he and I had many loving debates together. It was always in the best of spirit. And I remember him saying to me once, you're always talking to me about there is no purgatory. Well, I have found it for you. Good, let me see it. So he brings me to this sand. And he says, here it is. There's a soul here crying out of the depths. And this soul is longing for God to come and deliver them. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. This soul is looking to the Lord for mercy. One of the phrases says, for with the Lord there is mercy. This soul is looking for redemption, for with him is plenteous redemption. He says, this is purgatory. I says, now Tommy, you've got to steady yourself there. When this soul cries out of the depths, is he in purgatory? Yes, in purgatory. So he had died somewhere, and his soul had left the body, and he's in purgatory, and he's crying out of the depths. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Let's go back to the funeral of the body. Did they bury his body somewhere? So they buried his body. So after he had cried for a number of years, or what you're going to put on it, Tom, after he'd cried in purgatory, he gets out of purgatory. He's got this plenteous redemption you're talking about. Does he go back and resurrect this body and get into the body and come and write this psalm? Now, Tom just stands there steady. I says, you know, you're talking tripe, don't you? And I can remember Tom Connolly sort of turning his head away and saying, I'm talking tripe. That's right. Sure, anybody with half an eye could see that, but Roman Catholics would try to put that over on you if you were soft. Oh no, I don't think you can do that. I think that this is David's psalm. Because I know there's an argument about these 15 psalms. They're all called a song of degrees. And the word degrees, the old Hebrew word, it's the word for steps. And these were 15 steps. And they tell me there were 15 steps up into the temple. And sometimes when people went to worship, they stopped on every step and they sang or lifted one of these psalms. Be that as it may. You see, if you're going to make these psalms the psalms of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah made a lot of psalms. No doubts at all about that. But you're going to be in trouble when you come to Psalm 132, and it's a song of degrees, because it begins with, Lord, remember David. That should just put you back in your heels a little bit. But we don't want to waste the morning just arguing this out. I believe this psalm belongs to David, and I believe that many of the others belong to David. And it belongs to David when he fell into sin with Bathsheba. You remember he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And you remember that when the woman was found to be with child to the king, that David planned the death of her husband. He murdered her husband. And David's life was stained not only with sin of adultery, but with the dreadful, horrible sin of murder. And somehow he got past that all right until Nathan the prophet came in. Nathan the prophet looked at him and said, thou art the man. You did this thing to Bathsheba. And you murdered her husband. Thou art the man. And then David, he break up. And in contrition of heart, he was now in the depths of the deepest, darkest disaster of his life, and out of his depths. How do I know that for sure? I know that for sure because of the psalm. You see, here's what it says here. David says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And then he says in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. The man that's crying here is not crying because the city's burnt. He's not crying because he's going to die like Hezekiah. He's crying because he has sinned. I think we should never just take things quietly because some commentary says it. Let's have a look at it. You see, I think that this is the deepest, darkest depths of disaster that ever came to David's life. And you know, there are many depths in life as we go through life. Because you know that the backslider's depth is deep. You remember Jonah? And he cried out of the depths. And I think we must all remember Samson with his eyes out. And remember that the Philistines bored his eyes out. There were only sockets there in that big face. Just holes. And the big frame has no strength, and they're making sport of him. And out of the depths. I know all about that. And if I give this a turn and take it into the evangelical side, I can hear the prodigal out of the depths. And I think that Mary Magdalene, indwelt by 7 devils, must have cried out of the depths. And surely when the dying thief turns, he's crying out of the depths. Oh, there's 1,000 applications you can make, whether they're ministry or evangelical or whatever you like. There are many depths. But there's one thing that I want to get over to the meeting this morning. Not only is the deepest, darkest depths of disaster here that ever came to David's life, but right beside it, there is the privilege and the power of prayer when you're in the depths. I want you to get that. Because out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Oh, let me get this over to the meeting now, because this is more important than arguing out who the psalm belongs to. I care not what depths you get into. And you may get into a depth that you can call a financial depth. And you know there are feeble-minded souls, and mentally they get into a depth. And you know that some of us physically get into a depth. I don't care what the depth may be, whether it's financial or mental or physical or national or economical or whatever you like. So let's waste time fiddling with them. I want to tell you, wherever you are in the meeting, if you're in any kind of depth, there's a shaft right beside you. It was opened by the blood of Jesus, and there's a shaft right from your feet, right to the throne of grace, and you're in living way, and the devil can't close it, no matter how deep down you may be this morning. Out of the depths you can cry. That's a mighty thing. That's a mighty thing, dear. And don't let the devil cheat you out of that. Because you'll be in some sort of depths before the day is over. Before your life is over. But you can cry, you know. Right from where you are now. You can cry right to the throne of grace. Oh, I'm sure that Joseph, when he was put in prison and the door was shut. And you remember I measured it for you the other morning. He was 13 years in a prison cell in Egypt for something he never did. And you know the government might change in this land, I don't know, and care less. And I would wonder what would happen if Rome took over. I have my own notions. And I know that in communistic lands this morning, there are saints away down in holes in the ground, in the depths, in the reality. I'll tell you, no matter where you are, you can cry to the Lord. I think Joseph cried out of the depths of wrongful imprisonment. It wasn't for his sin, you know, that he was there. It was for his sin that David was there. But it was not for his sin that Joseph was there. I think Joshua cried out of the depths when his mighty army was overthrown at the little village of Ai. And it was Achan that was to blame. Oh, there are so many ways of getting into the depths. And I believe this, that when the devil came and stripped Job of his farm and his family and then covered his frame from head to foot with this loathsome disease, that this man was way down in diabolically planned and contrived depths, but out of the depths. Well, yes, I want you to get that. I'm sure that Hezekiah cried out of the depths. I'm sure that Daniel cried out of the depths, of the Hebrew children out of the depths. And I believe the saints in the Inquisition cried out of the depths. And we may have to cry again. All that I want to establish just now is this, that it doesn't matter what kind of depths, it doesn't matter what way they come to you, it doesn't matter if it's your sin, or if it's somebody else's sin, or if it's some government sin, it doesn't matter where it comes from, or if it's the devil himself that comes and puts you in the depths. I'll tell you, the privilege of prayer is yours. You can cry out of the depths. But I want you to get this. What I believe about the Song of Steps is this. I'm not taken on with this notion that they stopped in every step. Maybe they did. I believe I could take all these psalms. There are 15 of them, this Song of Steps. And I think you will find steps in each psalm. And I believe this one's cut out for this purpose. That when you're away down in the depths, and now you know any kind of depths, whether it's your sin or somebody else's sin that puts you there, you know, here's the first step. You can cry. You can cry unto the Lord. Don't forget that. But you see, as you go through the psalm, there is not only the depths of disaster here, and the privilege of prayer here, but there is the mercy of the Master here. Because this is what it says, for with the Lord there is mercy. And you want to, when you're in the depths, and you may well be in the depths one way or another, begin to cry, and then get on to the mercy of God. For with the Lord there is mercy. Oh, I think that we do injustice to God when we don't present him as a merciful Lord. You know, when you think of our God, when you think that all the gold and the silver belongs to him and the kettle on 1,000 hills, when you think that our Lord Jesus is heir of all things and all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him, and when you think of all the mighty things that you can think about now that really belongs to the Lord, in this book it just says that he's rich in one thing, and he's rich in mercy. Oh, I know it talks about the riches of his grace. I know about that bit, but that's not the same thing. It says God who is rich in mercy. Well, don't forget that. It's the only thing our God is rich in. In fact, our God is called the Father of Mercies. In fact, his mercies are new every morning. In fact, it was by his mercy he saved us. In fact, he has magnified his mercy. See, this book before me, it talks about magnifying his Son. Oh yes, he loves to do that. It talks about he has magnified his word above all his name. Oh, he magnifies his word. I'll tell you this. Lot looked at him when he came down to Sodom to save him. He said, thou hast magnified thy mercy. Well, let's get the hold of this. Somebody here in trouble? get yourself into trouble? Do you feel your way down in the depths, do you? Well, you can cry. Just start and cry, that's all. Cry to the Lord. And you're on the first step out. And I'll tell you what the next one is. Put your knees on the mercy of the Lord. Oh, there's mercy with the Lord, you know. For with the Lord there is mercy. And it doesn't end there, which I tell you this, it says here. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Oh, He'll bring you out. Oh, this is David's psalm. He knew this. Lord, I've played the fool. I have committed something that's horrible. And he's broken down, and his broken and contrite heart was in the depths. And out of the depths, he cries. Oh, you can always cry. And he knows in his heart there's mercy with the Lord. Sometimes there's mercy with the Lord when there's no mercy with his people. As there's mercy with the Lord. I'll tell you this. There's also plenteous redemption. You know, when David's talking in the 40th Psalm, it's about the same thing, you know. He says, I waited patiently, and at last he inclined his ear and heard me, and he brought me up out of the horrible pit. Oh, he'll bring you up out. Yes, he brought Israel out. Yes, he brought Joseph out. Yes, he brought the three Hebrew children out. Yes, he brought Daniel out. We didn't tell you when Paul stood there fast in the stocks and it's midnight. And he's in the depths. Out of the depths, he cried. The mercy of God met him. The redemption of God met him. You see the steps this morning. I want you to get the steps. Let's get the steps. Oh, you can see the deep depths of this disaster or distress or defeat or depression, whatever you like to call it. Do you see the privilege of prayer even when you're in the depths? Do you see the mercy of the Master, do you? That's another step. Do you see the redemption of the Redeemer? Bring you out. You got the steps now. Don't bother too much about how they argue about the Psalms. These are steps for us. There's mercy with the Lord. And if you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Somehow I have a feeling there's a burdened soul in this meeting, way down in the depths, and you've made a blunder somewhere, and in your soul you think it's all over, and you're lying there, and the devil's going to tramp you down deeper. Start crying! Start crying to the Lord! Start remembering there's mercy with the Lord! Start remembering there's plenteous redemption, you know. And when all of us or any of us get into the depths, enter the depths, yes. Maybe financially, maybe mentally, maybe physically. Then learn the steps. Cry. Step onto the mercy of the Lord. And let the Redeemer bring you out. And the Lord will bless you. God bless you.